There's the Walt Disney version of the story, right?
There's actually a VeggieTales version of the story that I've seen.
VeggieTales?
Yes, a double mouse played by a cucumber. And nothing on W was an asparagus. Maybe Tisha B'Av will show the movie. It's very inspirational.
No, not Tisha B'Av.
I'm glad, I'm glad now it's on John Wayutara. Okay. So it's hard to believe we're already down to the final two shiurim of this series. But so
we did one third of the sefer in 1 week. That's
pretty good. Daf Yomi's got nothing on us. So the story of David and Bathsheba is really a two parak story, and the richer parak is the second one. So that's that'll encourage people to come back for that one. As a matter of where we are standing in the book right now, we're in Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Aleph. And David HaMelech is well set up as the king of Israel. He's been wildly victorious in all of his battles. And now this happens. And this is very important. This Perek Yud Aleph is actually the start of everything that's going to happen for the rest of the Sefer. Everything that happens from the rest of the Sefer goes back to these two prakim. As we'll see at the end, David HaMelech receives a punishment, a four-pronged punishment, and that four-pronged punishment will be played out as the Sefer goes on. The issue of Tamar and Amnon is a result of this. The story of Avshalom is a result of this. Most everything that's going to happen is a result of this episode that's going to unfold largely in this parak, but more majorly over the next two parakim. So let's get started. Perak Yud Aleph starts. Vayihi tshuvas hashana ra'eis tzeis ha'malachim v'yishlach David. Yod v'esavadav imo v'es kol Yisrael v'yashchisu es b'nei Amon v'yatsua al rabo v'david yoshev v'yerushalayim. So David has established himself. He has established the army. And as such, he's now in the situation where he can send off the army to Aram, and they can be victorious, and he can sit at home. And sitting at home is never a good thing. Pasuk Beis, Vayira Esa Ere, Vayokam David Me'al Mishkavo, Vayisarech Al Gag Beis HaMelech, Vayar Isho Rochetzes Me'al HaGag, Veha Isho Tovas Marema Od. And David is working on his roof, and he is the king. His roof is higher than other roofs, which means he can see down onto other roofs. And he sees a woman taking a bath on her roof, and she was quite good looking. Vayishlach David vayidrosh lo isha, vayomah haro zos Bathsheba bas Eliyam, ishes Uriachiti. He said, who's she? She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliyam, the wife of Uriah. Vayishrach David Malochim Vayikocheho, Vatavo Elo Vayishkav Imo, Vehi Miskadeshes Mitumosa, Vatoshav Elbeisa. Simple reading is that he has her over, he has relations with her, and she goes home. Vatara Isha Vatishrach Vatagir David Vatoma Hora Anochi. David then gets the word that she is pregnant. On the face of it, David does not look particularly good here. Sleeping with another man's wife is Yehar Gval Yavor. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's really, really bad. We would expect better from David HaMelech. This is obviously a matter of great discussion. If we look famously at the first Makar, the Gemara in Shabbos, this is the part of the whoever says so-and-so sinned is mistaken. So we get off to David. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, Kol Omer David Chata, Eino Elo Tole. If anyone thinks that David HaMelech sinned here, you are mistaken. Shenemar, Vayhi David L'chol D'Rachov Maskil V'Hashem Imo. Because the Tanakh itself checks off on the fact that David was perfect with God. One could ask a basic question on this. What's the source for that pasuk? It's on the sheet in parentheses. Shmuel Aleph Yud Ches. We're now up to That was one could have said, yeah, he used to be a good guy, you know, and so it goes. But the Gemara does not say that. Could it be that the Shekhinah was with him even though he was a sinner? Gemara goes on and said, "Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yonasam kol ha-yotzer milchamas beis David kosev get krisos li'ishto." So what happened in those days was before anyone went to war, they would write a get for their wife. Why would they do that? Correct, to avoid potential aguna issues. In order that we shouldn't have a situation where she does not know the status of her husband, she would go. He would write a get to be sure. Therefore, where was Uriah at this point? Uriah was in battle, as we will see, which would mean that he had given his wife a get, and therefore she was not an Eshes Ish. So, on the one hand, this might not have been totally proper what he did. On the other hand, to say that he was sleeping with another man's wife, that is not what's going on. That means that she was no longer Anida. Yeah.
Does the get work if you know that your husband's alive?
Well, a lot of people in the world get divorced. A lot of people have living husbands and they're still divorced. There's nothing wrong with that.
But in the war situation, the idea is...
So you're making an assumption. You're making an assumption that the get's only going to work if he doesn't come back.
And if he's not known that he's alive. I mean, if David obviously knows that he is alive because he calls for him.
Right, and he shows up, which makes him very alive.
So then does the get still work if he's alive, or does it only count?
So you're making an assumption here, as I said. Your assumption is that it wasn't a matter of they gave a flat-out get and they really got divorced, and then if things worked out, they got remarried. You think this was a what we call a get al tanai. It was a conditional get. In the event that we have a situation where I'm not around, ...
If she's not an Eshes Ish, why is she taking a bath on the roof? Euphemistically. So,
assuming that it's euphemistically, which was an assumption, so there is always a possibility that her husband would come back, and no matter how I understand this, either the get would be off or they would get remarried at the soonest possible time, and when that would be the case, it would be important for her to euphemistically have bathed, shall we say. So, the Gemara says that they were not married at the time because he had given her a get because he had gone to war. There's a proof text to this. Shenamar ves asaras charitze hacholav ha'ira tavi resar ha'elef es achecha tiparkeid gusharom es arvasam tikach. Discussing when people went out to war, David here being sent to his brothers, it says that you should check how they're doing. It was arvasam tikach. And take their arvasam. My arvasam. What does that word mean? Tanya Rav Yosef, dvarm hamuravim beino leveino. Things that are related to him and her. But osot harakta b'cher b'nei amon, marcher b'nei amon, iyata nenash olav, af uriachita iyata nenash olav. Similarly, we will see in the next parak that I guess I don't have to ruin the story. Everyone knows how this is going to end. But just David eventually takes Uriah and sends him into battle, into the front lines. He gets killed that way. And the Gemara says, just like David's not punished for that, as a king, he had a right to send him to the front lines, so too he's not punished for the Eshes Ish. My timer, Morid B'Malchus Ava. The reason that he had a right to kill him was because he was a Morid B'Malchus, he was a rebel. We'll discuss that. So point number one is that what David HaMelech did was not technically as problematic as it would seem, as perhaps at one point she was married to Uriah, but not at this point. We will discuss a little bit more of that.
So they would write a get, go to war, come back, get married again, write a get every time they go to war. That's basically the idea.
Right. So a lot of good questions you could ask me about it. What about Cohenim? They didn't go to the army? Glad no one asked. Right, so that is the discussion. So maybe since we are discussing, maybe we'll skip ahead a little bit. If you look at, let's go to number 7. Rashi in Ksubas, when he quotes this, says, "Get krisos kol zav ishto she'im yomus b'milchama yeh get mei hayom ksivasa v'rei meis uriya b'milchama." Right, so he says that this is given conditional, and the condition is that in the event that I don't return, you will be divorced retroactively. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi here, so keep it on the other side. Number 8, Tosfos says, Pirush Bekuntrish, She'im Yomos B'Melchoma Yeh Get Mishas K'sivasov V'Kosh Rabbeinu Tam. He has questions on it. Ratenu Tam Meforish Kosev Get Krisos Legami B'Roshum Tanai. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam says Rashi is wrong, that the assumption made by Master Rabinowitz is not correct, and in fact the get was given unconditionally. And as such, it does not make a difference. Now, this machokas is something that's important for us to keep in mind as we continue to read the perek. The reason it's important to keep in mind is because, I'll ruin it for those of you who don't know yet, David HaMelech is first going to tell Uriah to go to his wife, spend the night at home, and afterwards Uriah goes out and gets killed in war. If this was a Tanai, if David was smart, he would have Uriah killed right away. And therefore, she would have been divorced at the time. If Uriah goes home and lives with his wife, the get al Tanai is off. If you make a conditional get and then afterwards live with your wife, the conditional, no matter what happens, that deal's off. This is very important. As we talk about the modern day aguna issue, so a lot of people say, I have a good idea. In order to avoid the guy from holding out on a get, why not have the guy at the chuppah write a get and give it to her on condition? This is just, I got the one side of things. And why not have the person give a conditional get at the chuppah? That if need be, that she'll be able to use this later on. So besides, it'll be an interesting photo op giving the get at the chuppah. Right? It's not exactly, you know, the most romantic of ideas I could think of. But beyond that, it just doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because if they live together as husband and wife, as we hope they will, happily, for many, many years, the get's done. That's why that is not a viable option. There was a situation that came up a few years ago, a very sad situation of a younger man, I think maybe in his 40s, who had early onset Alzheimer's. And his wife wanted to remain married for him as long as possible, but when you reach the point where he really had no idea, at that point, you know, she wanted to move on. The question is, once he reaches that point, he does not have the mental capacity to give a get. So how do you deal with it? So the get al Tanai, you let him give it now and let it kick in then, was an idea that was toyed at. We rarely do a get al Tanai. And this was one of the major issues, that if they want to continue living together, it's not going to work.
Well, how can you catch the Tanai is just waiting to take effect? Why does living together undo the Tanai?
But because here's what's going to happen here. So when I give a get, it means that if X, Y, and Z, we are divorced from now. Okay?
Right.
Therefore, if we live together afterwards, and then the Tanai happens, we were not living together as husband and wife. The assumption is people don't want to do that.
So the problem is retroactively makes the children born.
Does not make the mamzerim. Okay. A single man and a single woman who live together and have children out of wedlock do not make mamzerim.
So what's the problem retroactively you make everything not unmarried?
Because even if it doesn't make the Kshul Mamzeim, it is not proper for a single man and a single woman to be living together.
Not proper from what perspective?
From a halacha perspective, for example.
But the get should be chal. If someone still did it, even though it wasn't improper,
there's an assumption in Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nos. Someone did not put himself in the situation.
So you said that this Machlok is Rashi Tosfos plays out when David sent him back to Bathsheba. When David had deal with Bathsheba, was that Kedushin?
No. I imagine not.
So that was Bias Nus.
Again, she wasn't the Nida, right?
No, but I'm saying if it was Kedushin, then it would be Ashish.
Yes, it wasn't a good thing. David's gonna be punished for this. You know, no matter how you slice it, this isn't one of the things they're gonna mention at his eulogy. He's not getting shishi for this.
So you can't write a get that you would be divorced at the time it happens. It has to be from now?
Correct. I'm giving the get now, and I'm giving it now on the condition X, Y, and Z.
So you can't have the a get which says when this happens, this get will be working.
Right, right. The Tanai should be Me Achshav, as we say.
Okay.
So the first Gemara that we looked at says that David HaMelech, while this wasn't appropriate, don't think this was an issue of Eishes Ish. Even though the simple reading of the Pesukim was that way, Mark points out that it doesn't. The Gemara discusses this in other places and has some interesting statements. If you look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in a famous Gemara, more related to Elul than Av, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Lo David Roy Lo Osa Maisa Vol Yisrael Roy Lo Osa Maisa. This should have never happened to David. David on his own would have never done this. Well, David Roy Lo Osa Maisa the Ksiv Uri Bi Chol Bi Kirbi. Lo Yisrael Roy Lo Osa Maisa the Ksiv Mi Yitain Vayol Vavchem Zer Lohem Li Yira Osi Kol Yomim. So there's no way that David HaMelech on his own would have never done something like this. Rather, why did it happen? El Lama Asu. Why did this happen? Lama Lach Shimchat Yachid Amar Rok Chach Eitzel Yachid Vimchatu Tzibur Amim Eitzel Tzibur. What was the reason for this? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah takes the approach that David HaMelech was, shall we say, forced into the Avera in order that people to learn what Tshuva is. That David HaMelech will do tshuva in such a way that if a person has a sin, even a very serious sin, you can turn around and say, look, David HaMelech, he was David HaMelech. We would have expected a lot better from him. And he did something that was really, really bad, and still he was able to do tshuva. Kal v'chomer, you too shall be able to do tshuva. So there's what to be said about this. We assume that God doesn't usually take away Bechir Chashitz. God doesn't, there was this entrapment. But again, this is another way of deflecting the blame, that God made this happen in order that people can learn from David HaMelech.
Does it say that David wasn't made to happen, or just says he doesn't, what does Ra'ui Lo Tamasa mean?
But that it sounds like
a natural inclination.
Right, right. It would not have had things played out the way that you'd expect them to. This would have never happened.
I mean, maybe Hashem set up the situation that she was up on the roof, and but
right. So we'll see that. So we'll see how we read that. But again, it would seem that this wasn't necessarily fair. That's the idea behind it. There wasn't that David Melech necessarily has such a fighting chance.
May have had that natural inclination
at the time with Abigail. Right. So David, you know, clearly had a personality that was not a tzaddik on its own. Right. Right. His being a warrior indicated that he was good at it. But he, in the case of Abigail, which is a good example, he was able to hold back. So too, naturally, you would have been able to hold back here, were it not. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, which discusses many of these things, has a few interesting comments about this as well. Looking at number 3, Ru'u Yahisa Basheva Bas Eilu Modavid Mishesis Mevrashis. Basheva was David's Bashert. That they were, from the Sheshis Mevrashis, they were meant to have been together. El Shabbat Alam B'Michov, V'chein Tanur Dibay Rabbi Yishmael, Ru'u Yehoysa David Le'Bas Shava, Bas Elam El Sha'ocha Paga. What happened? The David was right. They were soulmates. They were meant to be together. However, the time was not right. Looking at it more, so in depth, later on in the Gemara is a fascinating piece, which sort of puts this into perspective. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, number 4, Al Yavi Adam Atzon Lidei Nisayon. A person should never have himself in a situation where he's being tested by God. Sherei David HaMelech, Melech Yisrael, Hevi Atzon Lidei Nisayon V'Nechshol. Because David HaMelech said, challenge me, and it really didn't work out for him. Amar Lefanov, Ribono Shalom, Mivnei Ma Omrim Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov, Vein Omrim Elokei David. Hey, wait a second. I want to get into Shemona Esrei also. Interesting request. Amru, Inhu Minsili, V'alo mintziri. He said, they were tested. You have not been tested. Amar afanav, ribono shalom, v'chanuni unesuni. All right, let's go for it. Shenemar v'chanuni Hashem unesini, unesuni. Amar mintzalach v'avidna milsa b'hadach, l'idhu roho d'yatinu v'ilu anakom odanalach, mintzalach v'davar ever. He said, I'm going to test you with davar ever, and you don't have a chance. Miyad v'hira esa erev, v'yokam dov mi'al mishkavo. So what happens? He gets up in the evening. Amar Rav Yehuda shehafach mishkavo shel laila u'mishkavo shel yom v'nisam ben halacha. So he went and he made a decision that was wrong. We won't go into it. V'yisalech al gag beis hamel. So he was walking on the roof. V'yar isha rochetes me'al gag v'isha tovas mare ma'od. V'ashev hava k'chaifa resha v'tusei chalta. So what was happening? That Basheva was bathing herself, but she was covered with a sheet. Also, Satan idmi leketzipirta. Satan came and he made himself be like a bird. Pasuk begira. Pasuk. So what happened? David HaMelech took out his bow and arrow and tried to shoot the bird. Pasuk lechalta igoy vechazir. So what happened? David shot. He missed and went through the sheet. Ripped the sheet, and that's how he saw Bathsheba. Miyad v'yishach David v'yidros v'yishav v'yomar haro zos Bathsheba b'aserem eish asur yachiti v'yishach David malach v'yikachel v'tvoi reho dat dat dat. So again, this seems to be almost a middle approach, that yeah, David HaMelech was somewhat, had the card stacked against him. However, the ultimate decision was his. Now it's interesting. Obviously, people picture Bathsheba in different ways, but if you look at the Gemara earlier in Sanhedrin, it gives you a very different picture. The Gemara is discussing, it's the beginning of Perek Ben Sora Umore, so discussing a Ben Sora Umore, how old does a child have to be potentially a Ben Sora Umore? Listen up, this is important. Right. So the Gemara says there's a very small window. Right, between the age 13 and 13 and 3 months. That's the only time a person can successfully pull off being a Ben Sora Umore. So the Gemara says, why 13? So it says, that's the youngest age where a child can be molded. The Gemara says, is that true? We know people having children at much younger ages. So the Gemara discusses, well, just because it happened years and years and years ago doesn't mean it could happen now. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that they gave birth at a much younger age? So the Gemara brings two or three proofs. One of them is from Bathsheba. We'll just give you part of it. Doros Hashem Minon Da'olid, how do you know? Ireima b'diksiv haro zos Bathsheba bas Erom Eishas Uriachiti. So we know Bathsheba's father's name was Eliam. B'diksiv Eliam ben Achitofel Hagironi. And Eliam's father was Achitofel. So, Lomik Achi Tofel, Bathsheba's grandfather. Skipping right over the way how they come up with these numbers in between. Metama, Kon lo shon zo Doeg, Eino elo shloshim v'arba. Doeg only lived to be 34.
Who's Doeg?
What? Doeg had Domi. He was a contemporary. V'shel Achi Tofel, Eino elo shloshim v'sheish. And Achi Tofel, who we care about, only lived to be 36. 33, thank you. When he died, Shlomo was 7 years old. That means he became a great-grandfather at what age?
26.
Correct. Now do the math. In 26, Achitofel has a child, the child has a child, and the child has another child. We have three generations, right? Achitofel has Eliam, Eliam has Bathsheba, Bathsheba has Shlomo. That all happened in 26 years. So the Gemara says, just do the math. Right? So he said, that being the case, how old was everyone? Right, so you take away the 7, Pashal who asked from Vishis. It's only 26 years from Achitofel being born until Shlomo was born. Da'al tarti shonei l'trosa iburi. Now remember, there are three pregnancies that got to happen these years also. Right, so three pregnancies, that's around 2 years. Okay, so now we're down to 24 years in between. Ash called chad v'chad b'tim li'olid. Everyone had to be on average 8 years old when they gave birth. The Gemara says, nope, not necessarily mimai. Dilma tarvai b'tisha olid. Maybe Achitofel got birth at the age of 9. And Eliam gave birth at the age of 9. And that would mean that Bathsheba olida b'shis. And Bathsheba was 6 at the time. Why? Mishum the itzasa b'aryam. Because the women mature earlier.
Does that mean she had
to
add a child, the first child at 5?
Right, the Shlomo. Which, and that Shlomo, she had a child with who? The father was? David. Right? Right, so again, Shlomo's not born from this union. He's born shortly thereafter. But that means at the time that our story is happening, she's how old?
5 years old.
5 years old. Not necessarily the way that the average person pictures this. So, let's go back to the Navi. It's been a while since we've been there. It's getting lonely, I'm sure. Pasuk Vav. Vayishrach David al Yoav, shrach eray es Uriah achiti, vayishrach Yoav es Uriah el David. Sends a message out to the battlefield, send back Uriah. And he gets sent back. Vayavo Uriah elav, vayishal David l'shromo, Yoav l'shromo, am l'shromo melchama. He said, so, Uriah, how's it going? How's my pal Yoav doing? How are the men? How's the war going? Make some small talk. Vayomer David l'Uriah, reid l'veisra urechatz raglecha, vayitzi Uriah mibeis ha-melech, vateitzi achra masa samel. He said, you know what? Thank you, I just wanted to get a report. I appreciate your coming. Go back and take the night off, you'll go back in the morning. Look at Rashi. Rashi said, why did he do this? So Rashi says, Shehoye miskavin sheyishkav im ishto v'yesovo shemimeno hi meuberes. He wanted him to sleep with his wife and to believe that the child was his. And that would have somehow cleaned... Now, even though, on the one hand, that might have been helpful in some ways, ultimately, according to the opinion of Rashi, as we said, that would have been very unhelpful. Because it would have made it easier for Uriah, would have made it easier for Bathsheba, but would have made it a heck of a lot worse for David HaMelech.
So, you know, if his kid is his, or...
What?
We don't know if...
No.
Is the kid coming?
No, that's not the reason. Because Uriah comes back, that means she was never divorced. That means he had slept with an Ashish.
That's only halachically it's more difficult, but if you're thinking about it from a non-halachic political perspective.
So, yeah, but think about the words only halachically. He's only Chayav Misa now. It's kind of hard to roll those words out. Now, on the one hand, politically it's better. Anyway, he's merely Chayav Misa. You know, it's the David HaMelech we're talking about.
So why would he
let's play out what would happen if not. If not, Uriah would come back from now 3-6 months from now and find his wife exceedingly pregnant.
But I guess that brings us to the next question, is when he sent him out to battle, did he know he was not going to survive?
So I guess to rephrase the question maybe, was he planning to have him knocked off afterwards?
Right.
Okay, I think that would be the less tactful but more direct way of asking the question. As we'll see, probably not. Okay, so he tells him, go home. According to Rashi's opinion, and this is the same Rashi who says it was a Gedal Tanai. According to Tosfos, that they were really divorced, so it doesn't affect David one way or the other. Now, is that necessarily true? So, the general... What?
He wouldn't be able...
Mm-hmm. So, let's see what we paid all the tuition for.
He wouldn't be able to send her if they were divorced. And... Never mind. Only if she was miskadeshes, David, would he not be allowed to...
Not necessarily. That's a question. So, again... generally, assuming a man is not a Kohen, if he divorces his wife, he's allowed to remarry her. Unless she was married to someone else in the interim. The question is, when we talk about married, do we mean like Chuppah v'Kiddushin, or do we mean like living together in the biblical sense?
So, I thought bilasness was okay.
Again, careful with your words. No, we don't want people why you tell everything that bilasness is okay. I don't want this being popping up in Yateid, as you know. Quotes like this. Let's try to keep it clean here. Right, but again, that would have made it, that probably would have been okay. But it would have been a mere BS in those. Fine. It's with great joy I realize that people rarely listen to my tapes, so I don't worry too much. So he says, go home. Take the night off. You get a furlough. Pasuk 10 says, Yishkav Uriah Pesach Beis HaMelech Ve'Eis Kor Avdei Adonov V'Ro Yoed El Beiso. In fact, he goes out. He does not listen to David. Rather, he sleeps in the lobby so he can go straight back the next day.
When does it say Yishkav? Hasn't it used a different word?
Vayolen?
I mean, like, that has other implications.
Yeah. But being that he's the only person involved in this, it's doubtful that the other implications...
I mean, like, if he's sending him somewhere to do something. He's doing something else somewhere else.
Right. He said to him, right? He said, you know, go home. You know? And he doesn't say Vayishka when he says go home. He says, go take a warm shower. Right?
Isn't that also a
Chatz Rag Lecha?
Chatz Rag Lecha is used commonly for relations.
Such a Ross,
right? What?
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't think that's the quote there. There is a Tanakh floating over.
I will uncover your
right.
Not washing
your feet.
Right, it was uncovered. And I see a Tanakh down the at the head of the table. But I don't actually think this is a euphemism for anything other than foot washing. Avram wrote, a lot of people are washing feet. Washing feet is very big in Tanakh. Okay, in the meantime, we will go on. Okay, just jump in whenever you get it. Yeah. Oh, now you have conversation. Okay, want me to...
No, you're right.
Okay, pressure's on now that I'm racing.
Abraham washes the Arkim's feet and
Lot.
And Lot does the same thing, so right. He won't bow down to their sound, right?
It's supposed to be a gimel or something like that.
It's hospitality more than anything. Yeah.
Right.
He didn't wash back when they came in.
Maybe David HaMelech's testing
him. Vigirisa Margalosov. Is I think the question is the quote we're looking for in Perek Gimel Pasuk Daled, right? Vayehi b'shachvo, this is Mi'ar Maral Mi, Naomi, to Rus, and Vayadat es hamakom ashe yishkav shem uvas v'galis margalosav v'shachavt v'hu yagil lach es asher ta'asin. Right, so... The feet get uncovered, they do not get washed. Right? Then later on, when it actually happens, Pasuk Zayin, Vayocha Boaz, Vayesh, Vayitav, Libo, Vayavo, Lishkav, Bikseha, Remar, Vatovo, Balot, Vatagal, Margalosa, Vatishkav. A lot of Tishkav, but it has nothing to do with the feet. Right? That's my take on it. Okay, so he does not go home. Vayagidu leDavid leMor lo yarad Uriah el beiso. Vayomer David el Uriah halo miderech atavah madua lo yarad el beisecha. So David calls him and says, "Wait a second, you're probably pretty tired. Why don't you go home? Get yourself a good night's sleep." Vayomer Uriah el David haaron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukos v'Adoni Yoav v'Avdei Adoni al pnei asadechonim v'ani avo el beisir echov l'shtos v'shkav imishti. Said, what are you, crazy? My brethren are at battle, and the Aron is out there. You know, they're sleeping in tents on the battlefield, and I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat, drink.
He calls Yoav his master.
Yeah, because he's the general.
Yeah, but he's not listening
Isn't
to the...
Like calling no. over David?
He's more the
Yoav,
master.
My master.
Oh, so you could have been one of the Balei Tosfos, you know that? Because if you take a look at number 6, which happens to come right after number 5.
Wow.
It's crazy how that happens sometimes. Woo-hoo! Modern technology. Morib Malchusava. So David eventually at this point makes a decision to knock him off, and he has a right to do that. Why? Because he did not listen to the direct order from the king. King told him to go home, and he didn't. So the Gemara says that he was a Morib Malchus. Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirush Bekuntris, the Morib Haya. Na'akoma Adoni Yov, Ifnei HaMelech David, V'lo Nehira. So Rashi says, you know why he was a Morib Malchus? Because he referred to Yoav as Adoni in front of the king. Bada bing.
That's what a big present.
I'm a big present right now.
Stop reading ahead. Busted.
Did you go over this with him?
What? Okay. He's a plant. He's a plant.
What's a plant got to do with this?
We're not talking about domain.
Not talking about those plants. He planted you here so that he can ask the right questions.
That's right. Get doubles of crumpets at the next Kol event. Valona Hira. However, Tosus rejects this idea. The problem isn't Yoav that you know, you refer to someone as your master. If your master is somehow in competition with the king, then that is an improper comment. But, you know, Yoav and David at this point are in a fine relationship. He's the king, he's the general, it's all good. So Rabbeinu Tam's father, Rav Meir, who was a...
Son-in-law
of Rashi. Right? Masha Omer lo David sheyeruch vesel lechov v'lishtos v'hu miyin b'David k'ksiv kol avdei adoni al pnei asod echonim v'ani avo al besi lechov hit me av lo hayo lo l'sarif. So he says no, it's not like Rashi and Yoni say, but rather it's like the other opinion that he did not follow a direct order from the king. Third possibility, Yeshem Afarshim da hamered haya shehiktim lomar adoni yoav konim Hamelach David. Third possibility is kind of a nod towards the first, but not totally. It's not that he referred to Yoav as Adoni, but rather because he referred to him prior to referring to David. So something that he did here was wrong.
So if a person doesn't listen to the king, but listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the king is asking him to do something that's wrong, even though he doesn't realize that it's wrong, Is it still considered more of a machlok?
So why was this wrong? I think there's an assumption here.
Because he's telling you to go sleep with his wife. There's no avera, but he's setting himself up in some way for bilat znut according to what.
So you're saying that David is setting up Uriah for a lifnei iver against David. Is that your argument?
Well, he's actually not allowed to. He's not allowed to sleep with her either because she's already slept with someone else. So he's
right,
a lifnei iver.
Not necessarily, but not there are kiddushin. Right. So you're pointing out here that in the event that he sleeps with her and the get was a get al tanai and therefore the get's over, not only is David in big trouble, but Bathsheba is in big trouble as well. Is that your point?
No, even without a get, if someone finds out that his wife is...
Unfaithful,
is he allowed to be with her?
No, but how does he find out? Let's say she tells him, honey, I need to get this off my chest. We don't believe her.
So without Eidos, you're saying there's nothing going on here.
Right.
Okay.
What about when he did wrong to Bathsheba, that she didn't know he was okay, he'd been in war? There's no, like, text messaging with cell phones.
No, there was no text messaging with cell phones. I will accept that.
So I mean, like, you have a wife who's sitting in a house thinking her husband's in danger. He's there in the city. Would be nice to let her know that he's okay.
So we're going to discuss this because obviously the Nach tells of her reaction when she finds out that he's dead. Mm-hmm. But at the time that David and Bathsheba were together, Uriah was not in the city, etc.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Uriah's in the city now.
Right.
Bathsheba doesn't know Uriah's in the city.
Right.
Bathsheba's worrying about her husband in battle.
I would imagine she is.
It would be considerate for Uriah to say, hey, I'm okay.
Right. So you're saying that, and David, in fact, told him to do that.
Right, so that could be what he did wrong.
Well, again,
being
insensitive...
That's calling him wrong.
He deserves to die.
Right, I mean, you know, being an insensitive husband is not a good thing. I'm not encouraging it, but the death penalty for them might be a little bit over the top.
No,
oh, okay, listen, you know, to each their own. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but... But I'll talk to Mark about it later. Again, you'll never have an anniversary coming up this week, so you know, with death penalty, it's already a little. Yeah, and I remember that I have it this week. I'll note. Please, and it's on what you told me now.
But do you know the day?
What?
Do you know the day?
I'm pretty sure about this one. It's fine. I should not digress, so we'll go on. So, David says, what are you doing? And he gives the wrong answer here. Okay, well, why is it wrong? Machokas, but it's wrong. Yid beis v'yom David al-Uriah, shev mazeh gam hayom u'machor, ashalech echo, v'yeshev Uriah v'yushalayim, v'yom ahum u'machoras. So tell you what, Uriah, hang out here for the next day. Tomorrow you're going back to battle. David HaMel takes advantage of the day. And he says a little note. Vayikro David, vayochal lefana, vayesh, vayishkarehu, vayishakrehu, vayetze ba'erev lishkav v'mishkavo im avdei adonav v'albei solo yirad. He has a fine, fine time, sleeps over the night, does not go home. Vayiva boker vayichtov David sefer el Yoav vayishak b'yad Uriah. He says, here's a message I want you to take to Yoav. Please live it. Yes. Oh, now you ruined it for everybody. Vayichtov b'sefer emor, hovu es Uriah el mul pnei hamelchama chazakah v'shavtem achra v'nikah v'meis. Put him in the front line, go into the most dangerous area, and then retreat and leave him there. Vayhi b'shmor Yoav el ha'ir v'yitein es Uriah el makom asher yadar ki anshei chayel shom. And he does that. He puts them into the place where he knows these the enemy's strongest point. Vayetzu anshe ha'ir vayilachamu es Yoav vayipol min ha'ame avdei David vayamaskam Uriah hachiti. Many people get killed in this, including Uriah. Vayishach Yoav vayagir l'David eis kol derei v'chama. And he sends the message back. Interesting, the Medrash picks up on something that we do not naturally see just through the Pesukim. The Medrash by Midbar Rabba, number 9. V'gamato yadat asher aso li Yoav ben Tzruya asher aso li shnei tzorei tzavaos Yisrael la'avder ben ner ula amso ben yeser v'yargeim ma'aso lo at motzei b'shar shekosu double Yoav. So he says, this is at the very beginning of Malachim, and David is on his deathbed and instructing Shlomo what to do. He instructs him to take care of Yoav, because you know what Yoav did. So the message is, what did Yoav do? So this is interesting. You had to guess this one. V'shar shekosov David l'Yoav, hovu es Uriah el mul p'nei ha'melchamo ha'chazaka v'shavte me'achra v'nikev ha'meis. When he sent him this message, what happened? Also kach v'nerag nikvitzu kol roshei chayalim al Yoav argo, sh'oye rosh ha'giborim. So at the time, the other soldiers said, how did you do this to Uriah? They challenged Yoav. How dare you set up a situation where we all know Uriah is going to be killed? Shekach kosu bo, Uriah achiti al shloshim v'sheva. As it says, he was one of the great warriors. Hero hem es haksav l'ficha kosu v'es asher asa li Yoav ben Tzruya v'asher asa. So he turns around and he's, what did Yoav do? Yoav showed this letter to the soldiers to cover himself. So this, what David HaMelech did, became public. But not right away. So, Yotes Vayitzaves HaMalach Lemorka Chaloscho Eis Kol Devei HaMelchamo Vadaber El HaMelech. So, the messenger is told, when you are done delivering this to the king, V'haya Imtave Chamas HaMelech V'armo Vecho Madu Anigashtem El Ha'ir Hirochem Lo Yedatem Eso Sher Yoru Me'al Choma. He's going to say to you, how ridiculous, don't you know not to come near the walls? They're going to shoot from the top of the walls. Mi kos Avimelech ben Yeruveshes, halo isha heshlicha olav pelach recha me'al hachomah v'yomas betevitz. Sevis rabba digash me'al hachomah v'amarta, gam avdecha uriah hachiti meis. So he's going to say to you, don't you know that Avimelech ben Yeruveshes, anyone know who Avimelech ben Yeruveshes was?
Isn't
he Yehoshua? Close, next book.
Shoftim?
Yeah.
And then he went to war, and then, like, the lady dropped a giant millstone on him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So who was he?
Wasn't he a king?
He was a king. Who was Yehoshua?
Don't know.
Give you a hint. Look at Rashi.
Ah.
Ah!
Of course. Gidon.
Ah, right. Avimelech was the son of Gidon, who was the king for 3 years, was a shofet for 3 years, wasn't supposed to be, didn't really work out. Eventually he got killed by a flower pot, sort of, from the top of the gates. He said, then you know what's going to happen? So if he gets upset, said, how come you did this maneuver, you knew people were going to be killed, just tell him that Uriah was also killed. So the messenger delivers the message. So we were moved back until the gate. He, being unaware, delivers the message and says, yes, Uriah was killed. Vayomer David al HaMelech, Kosomar Yoav al Yira ve'einecha esad davar hazeh, ki chazo ve'chazeh tochal hacherv hachazek milcham tocho el ha'ir v'harso hachazkeyu. Says, don't be upset, not to worry. We all have our bad days in battle. You'll go back tomorrow. You'll get him there. Go get him, kid. Vatishma eishes Uriah, ki meis Uriah isha, vatispod al ba'o. And she mourned. She was very upset to hear this. At that point, after she's done with her avelus, David marries her, they have a child. God's not happy. Just a few comments on that. We can get number 10 in the sheet, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch.
I mean, how does the Gemara say that he's not chota if it says God's not happy?
Because it's God's not happy, not that he thought that David sinned, just didn't
like. Well, it was as they tried to make clear. Clearly, this was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara's saying there's a long way from inappropriate to Eishes Ish.
It's a gray area.
No, that's pretty murky. I guess Mrs. Alter said it's gray. Never argue with the Rebbetzin. That's a basic rule in life, particularly if you're married there. The Shulchan, the Ram. That's right. I feel your pain. What? That was a nice thing to say, don't you think? Okay, good. That's it. So be quiet. Like, there are more comments in Ebenezer. Yeshom lechachira ein legar shal yidei tonight. Lechachira, you should never do a gettle tonight. We do. I have never seen a gettle tonight. There was a case recently where there was a fellow who wasn't giving a get, who insisted on doing a gettle al yidei tonight. I don't know what happened, but I have never seen one myself. Rocky Gary, stop. If you want to get divorced, get divorced. If you don't want to get divorced, don't get divorced. No, you can't be in the gray area, if you know what I mean. Well, Kabo Bechel Makiros Olitein Mashkonos Kishyamdu Yatsu V'yisu Zeh. Fine. V'kohen HaMegari Sorchi Hasto Shiro Tei Asur Lachzor Bo. In the event that the Kohen's doing a get out tonight, he has to make it clear that in the event this doesn't go through, they can still be married. In the event that somebody is ill, right, and we are concerned that they might lose the ability to give a get, thanks to the Ramah says we discussed that as well. Here's the part that we're interested in. Ishus niskash al tanai. If a woman had a gifshin al tanai, umeis bala, and what if her husband dies in the interim? Eina tzucha v'saba olav. She does not require avelos. Ava ein isa v'davim ritzon ala hachver ala atzon av livkos ala v'latze sachar b'zoso. However, if she wants to, she can volunteer. So again, if we are assuming this is a get al tanai, so this is according to the Ramah, she was not required to do this, this was her own decision, that she wanted to have some avelos. That's one issue. The second issue is the issue that the Rambam raises. Kol haruge malchus afo pisha nergu b'din ha-melech v'atorah nazno lehem reshus l'harkon reilu imus avim aleihem v'inonim mehen kol dorem umomonum l'melech in the Kvam b'kiri avoseihem. If somebody is killed because he messes with the king, that person does get avelos. However, if someone was killed because they were given capital punishment, there's no avelos for them. Etc. So, again, this seems to be a proof to the fact of the Rambam's halacha, that we do set avelos someone who is a morid malchus. I wanted to end with an interesting piece from the Or Zeruah, and what David did here is inappropriate on some level or another. However, that's why it's important to keep David HaMelech in perspective. The Or Zeruah has a tremendous piece here. And it's longer than a typical piece I'd want to read, but it's worth it. Starts by calling the Gemara that you should not have God test you because David HaMelech had God test him and it didn't work out well. Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ibnei Ma, Omrim Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Ein Omrim Elokei David, Amar Lo, Einu Minisali, Va'avu Minisali, etc. Because that's the Gemara. Harefil David HaMelech, Sheyotzim Kenegdo Sheva Barakim, Barokshin Kol Ofanim Vesrofim Va'otzos Barad. This is David HaMelech, who when he walks out, right, the Ophanim and the Seraphim, the highest Malachim, walk behind him. Va'otzos Barad, Va'anane Kavod, Umazol Shekochav Malachi Asheris Lo'at Hezvul Omrim Ramatzeach Mizmor David. And the highest of all of the heavenly creatures all say, Ramatzeach Mizmor David. They praise David, the Malachim praise David HaMelech. And first a heavenly voice comes out of Gan Eden and says that God should rule in Zion forever and ever. Then David shows up. This is how it works. Then David walks in first, with all the other kings following behind wearing their crowns. The Kisra shall David muvak moshun mikol ksarim. And his crown is finer and different than all other crowns. V'ziva hoch misof olam v'atzof olam. And his countenance goes from one end of the earth to the other end. U'ksha'olo beis ha-medrash ha-godlo shurakiyah. When he goes up to the heavenly beis medrash. Huchum okiso shall eish. He has there a seat of fire. Doesn't sound like a great thing, Shu. Arba meos parsa gavoa. It's 400 parsa high. So how much is a parsa? A parsa is for a meal. How long is a meal? A meal is like a kilometer. So it's 1,600 kilometers high. That's around 1,000 miles. Okay? Almost exactly. Kiflayim archa v'kiflayim rochpo. With double the height, double the width. David sits on his throne next to the throne of God himself. And all the other kings sit before him. And all the kings of Israel stand behind him. Then Shiros and Shishbachos are sung, the type that have never been heard. When they say, "Miyad posech mitatron sar pdim v'chol palmar shal olam v'omrim kadosh 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 Hashem tzvakos m'ocha aretz kvodo." The head angel opens up all of the heavens, and everybody says this together. The chayos mishafim v'omrim brok kvod Hashem im komo. V'rekim omrim miloch Hashem olam akar tzion v'dor v'dor. V'oros ameres Hashem melech Hashem moch Hashem yimoch v'omved. V'chol malchei David omrim v'hayu Hashem l'melech ha'kohort v'omu hu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. V'zachar l'chol ha'kovod b'osu olam. Shema mina, end of quote, shehoyah tzadik v'kol yirshul mufra. David was the greatest tzadik. Af al pikin lo hagir l'tzidkosim v'chasidoshim shal avos shrosha. Still he did not reach the level of those avos. Kol shekein ha'shvatim shal hagir l'tzidkosim v'chasidusim. He said, so yeah, David HaMelech made a mistake, but keep it in perspective. David HaMelech was still head and shoulders above anybody else. So that's important to take into account, and we will continue with Yud Beis, where David is challenged with this, and we will see his reaction. Thank you.